Hi, I'm Annette.
And this is Steve.
And we're America's cheapest family. Frugality is not about sacrifice. It's about priorities.
As a matter of fact, frugality frees and debt destroys.
And you're listening to Vicki and Jen and What Really Matters.
When can I paint the country?
When it dries. In 3 days.
Got a big to-do list? Get Bounty. It's our thirstiest yet. And so durable, one sheet keeps working. Because Bounty is shred-resistant. Lab tests prove Bounty doesn't shred, while the other guy does. So get Bounty.
It's lumpy.
It's mountainous.
Bounty, the shred-resistant, quicker picker-upper.
This is Vicki and Jen making life simple so you can enjoy what really matters.
Making the most of your money in your life. That is their motto, and this is what really matters. That is why we have Annette and Steve with us today.
Well, Vicki and I have found the ultimate frugal living experts. The Economitas are referred to as America's cheapest family, the first family of frugal, cheapskates, and thriftaholics. And they're totally cool with that. Welcome, Steve and Annette.
Well, hi, girls.
Good to be here.
Thanks for coming on the show with us today.
So have you all really been cool with these tightwad titles, or is this something that you had to get a little used to over time?
Well, it's kind of funny. We started writing a newsletter in 1903, when Benjamin Franklin was around. Anyway, 2003, I quit my job in an advertising capacity with a graphic design firm. I've been doing that for 23 years, and we'd always lived this way. As a matter of fact, when I left that job, the boss, after 11 years, gave me he was going to give me a gift, and he said, "I know if I gave you anything, you could always find a better deal on it." So he gave me $500. and I mean, that was our lifestyle, and even when we were earning a lot of money. So we started writing this newsletter, and we instantly got picked up by some TV stations locally, and a local TV host started the story by saying, "I want to introduce you to the cheapest family in the valley, but I mean that in the best way possible." and we figured, in a world of news where adjectives need to be sensational,
right?
What options do they have?
Right.
You know, they could say the most frugal family. Oh, that'd go over like lukewarm oatmeal. So we knew he had to sensationalize it, and so we said, okay, well, we'll live with that. And he said in the best way possible, and it was a very good story.
A compliment.
Well, when we went to Good Morning America about 6 or 8 months later, they picked up on it too, and they called us the cheapest family in America, or America's cheapest family, and we've been called the cheapest family in the world. I don't think
you've heard it all.
Yeah, and at first it did make us feel a little funny because some people, of course, did mock us. But
right. We
just thought, you know what? If it gave us a platform to really promote the frugal lifestyle and bring people financial peace instead of financial stress, then it was worth all of it.
Right. Well, it's not a gimmick.
Annette, they mocked you because they were envious.
Sure.
Well, yes and no. Some of them absolutely are clueless, to tell you the truth.
Well, were you guys like this individually before you met?
Okay, no, we really weren't.
Oh.
I mean, we grew up in typical middle-class homes.
Okay.
You know, our very, very similar. Our parents both shopped at the JCPenney's bargain basement and occasionally a garage sale, but not really thrift stores at all. And, they shopped the discount retailers like Kmart, Walmart, and Target. But they really were not black belts in frugality. And it all started because I really wanted to stay home when we were first married and figure out how the heck to be a homemaker. Because I was just
she knew how to boil water and scramble eggs.
I just wanted to have fun.
And really, yeah, girls just want to have fun. I can't figure that out. But where was I going with this?
I have no idea.
I'll keep talking.
No, we had friends who told us, you know, Steve, you ought to work two jobs, and Annette ought to work one job, and you ought to save every penny you can muster, and be in a house, buy a house in 3 years. And we decided to do it totally differently. And I worked one job. Annette stayed home, and she stretched our pennies until they begged for mercy. And no joke, 3 years to the day, we closed on our house and moved in with a 15% down payment.
That's
of course,
awesome.
We were madly in love, and so baby number one was on its way a month before our first anniversary.
Yeah, awesome.
And they actually, he was born a month before our first anniversary.
But see, the whole genesis of the frugality came with Annette being home, and she started off by taking duplicate wedding presents we had, and she returned them and got cash for them.
And exchanged
just,
them and got...
She just sat there and figured things out so we could get the most out of the bucks we had. And I was earning $838 a month take home.
Yeah, but our apartment rent back then was only like $300 a month.
Right.
But still, you know, I didn't know a thing about cleaning and a thing about cooking because my mom just believed she was the one that was supposed to do all that, and our job was just to have fun as a kid. So I was pretty ill-prepared for married life and really wanted to learn about it. And so she would crack up laughing, and when I would call her every day and just say, okay, I want to make this today. Now, how do I do it?
Well, I do that. I still do that. I double check with my mom on lots of cooking questions.
Yeah. You know, Annette's goal was, she said this, and this is her personality, which really makes a difference. She said, I want to be the best at this. I want to figure it out, and I want to do it in a way that just maximizes everything I do. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want fluff. I want performance, and I want excellence.
Right.
And she does that.
That's great. Well, now listen, you've had this best-selling book published. You're a famous family. So what has changed? Are you still living as frugally as you did when you and Annette got married, or have things changed?
We really are. We really are, and we still are doing our budget twice a month. And, you know, we've been doing this for 26 years now. So people, this is a question that everybody asks us. How is this going to change you? And we're, you know, at this point in time, it hasn't. And so we're really okay with who we are and what we do with life. And it is a little bit more challenging because we do have a lot of media that we have to interface with. But since we're both working out of the home, somehow we're able to keep up. And we don't say yes to everything. So.
And we take hug breaks in the middle of the day.
And you know, our kids are,
that's awesome.
Our kids are growing up, and they're going to be flying out of the nest here pretty quick, one at a time. So
well, as long as those hug breaks don't lead to more children. You've got five already.
They're better tax deductions.
Yeah, well, I wanted 10, so.
Oh, my gosh. Did you really?
I did.
Well, oh, you're probably the only family that I know that would not have to say, gosh, we'd love to have another one, but I don't know if we can afford it. We have to kind of wait until our finances are in order.
Oh,
people
you know,
say
that
all
the
time.
Biggest crock of something that I've ever heard. You know, the we trust our government. I mean, they are so smart. They got us into this financial mess, but you know they're really smart, and they tell us that it costs almost $200,000 to raise a kid.
Yeah.
Well, that is. That is just
nonsense.
Bull.
And that didn't include college. The truth is, once you have a boy and once you have a girl, you have everything that you need.
Because
you have hand-me-downs.
Uh-huh.
And
true.
Granted, after several kids, some of them wear out, but baby clothes are like the cheapest things that you can buy. And if you nurse your babies, then you don't have the formula expenses. And then if you're really brave and do cloth diapers, which I did for the first two.
Did you?
Then, you know, you are really saving a ton of money. Babies do not have to cost a lot at all.
I feel a whole book coming on just based on that topic alone. I mean, baby
clothes. We wrote a couple of articles on babies.
Oh, did you?
And we had readers write into our Home Economizer newsletter and tell us that you know, this is what they did to save, and we put our stuff in there. And it was one of the most popular articles we've written.
Wow.
You know, people do view having babies as,
expense.
Especially the first baby.
Yeah.
This is when you buy the biggest lies.
Well, yeah.
You got to know this. We included this in the book, America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money, about this. They send out postcards to new parents who are in Lamaze classes or something, and they invite them to the baby store, and they show them all the dangerous things that are out there. And, of course, they have the solution. The super duper deluxe high chair that'll never hurt your baby, and it's only $500.
Right.
Yeah. 16 equal payments of $200. You know, you're bad at math, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not the baby that's expensive. It's all the kind of crap
they make
you think that you need that you don't.
They scare you.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Use their scare
really
tactics.
Do. And I know I'm going to be absolutely crazy to say this, but, you know, we knew a military family that was just starting out, and they did not have a whole lot of money at all. And their little baby, their first little baby, slept in a dresser drawer for quite a few.
They took the dresser drawer out.
Well, that's
for quite a few months until they saved up enough money for a crib.
That's what my mom said.
Top drawer left.
Really? Yeah.
And that baby turned out just fine.
I'm sure.
He does get a little claustrophobic once in a while.
Well, now let's think about this. Aiden's car seat, his booster seat, he's six, has little lights on each side of the head.
No way!
How many times have we used the lights?
That cost you an extra $50. You know what's really funny? When we went to this one presentation at the baby store, we saw this Wanda chair, which is no longer around, and it was $500, you know, and our rent was $300. We said, oh, we've got to have this because we don't want our baby to fall over in a high chair.
Right.
We didn't buy it.
Yeah.
And we found it at a garage sale a few months later for $20.
There you go.
So the truth is, if you really think you need something, just don't take the pressure. Don't swallow the bait, hook, line, and sinker.
Right.
Wait a little bit. This is one of our key principles for saving money, is be patient. Wait. Look around. Look for other options. And if you don't have the money, you have a choice. You can either whip out credit and borrow money and pay it back with interest, or you can use another C word, creativity. And Americans have been lulled into the sense of complacency and it's like, oh, well, we're going to go on a date. Let's go do dinner and a movie.
Yeah.
You know, no, let's be creative.
And most people get afraid of that word. I know Steve and I are kind of opposite in that I really liked math and science, and he was really into writing and English. And so I was more analytical of the two of us. So creativity was not part of my personality at all.
It scares her when I say, let's do something creative. She says, okay, I want you to write it down in duplicate, submit it, and I'll send
I'll plan it out for you.
But I have learned to be creative, and it is so much fun. And creativity is merely looking at a situation and coming up with multiple ways to solve it. And it's actually very much fun once you get a situation or two under your belt and you learn to practice it on a regular basis.
I mean, think about this. It's baby steps. And let's say you're coming up with a solution for going out to dinner, but you don't have a lot of money. And you go, gosh, you know, I don't want to put it on credit cards. I want to go out and have a good time. And so you go creative. Well, what can I do? And you start looking around, and all of a sudden you find 2-for-1 coupons.
Yeah.
For dinner. And then you find a concert at the university because they have an awesome music department, and every junior and senior student have to do an end-of-year recital. And so you go to a tuba solo concert after dinner.
Sweet!
And you spent $18, including tip, and you've had a great night.
Yeah.
Whoa. Now you're hooked on creativity.
Right. It just gets the ball rolling.
Well,
you've kind of blown my next question right out of the water, because I was going to say, do you ever feel like you're doing without, or you're yearning for something you really can't afford?
But no, we don't ever feel that way.
And doesn't
people
sound
don't
like
understand
it.
That. They just scratch their heads, because I know there are some thrifty frugality experts that just say you have to do without. And we just feel like there is always a way to find what we want for a discount or pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And so if you're just patient and you learn what resources are out there, you really can have everything you want.
You know, we talked about this in our book, but we talked about remodeling our kitchen. Now, everybody knows that when you remodel a kitchen, you're supposed to spend about 10% of the value of the house. Now, at the time, the house we were in, this was in 1995, we bought this second house, and it was $220,000, and it's way more than that now, but we were supposed to spend $25,000 remodeling the kitchen. Well, we'd saved the cash, and we had it sitting there, but we were only going to spend $10,000. And we had sales rep after sales rep come through the house, meet with us, and we told them we wanted solid oak doors, we wanted this modern design, we have a huge kitchen, it's really, really long and big.
Yeah.
And they laughed at us.
One guy wouldn't even quote the job.
Oh,
he
really?
Said, there is no way you can do that. Well, not only did I do the kitchen, but I did floors as well. And I came in under budget.
We put in solid oak floors.
Well, what was the biggest money saver in the kitchen?
It was research. It was using good old American...
negotiating, haggling.
Yeah, and having people come through and finding people that would discount the cabinets. We did a lot of the work ourselves. You know, Steve, mm-hmm. Steve is pretty handy, so he put in a skylight and took out a soffit and rerouted some ductwork. And then my dad is super handy, too, and he came over and they installed all the cabinets. And we hired out a friend who had some carpentry, and he helped with some stuff. And so basically we ordered the materials but kind of did it ourselves.
Right. I'm hearing here, I thought, okay, we're going to find out tips like, all right, when you can save money on gas by not weighting down the trunk of your car. What I'm hearing from you guys is so much better. You're saying, number one, research.
And yes.
Number two, get creative and think outside the box. Yes. And number three, don't be in such a hurry.
Patience.
Oh, correct.
You know,
correct.
And those are excellent tips that I think everybody, no mm-hmm. matter where you are financially and who you are and what age, we can all learn from that, and we can all do that if we just try.
Absolutely.
Let me kind of change direction a little bit, because I want to hit something that you've touched on, but it's kind of important. IBM in the 30s, 40s, and 50s had a sign on their walls in most of the rooms that said, think. Think. Because they wanted their guys and gals who were working there to really scrutinize problems and plan through them and kind of get in there and wrestle with them until they came up with a solution instead of impulsively trying to solve it. Apple Computer came out in the 80s, and theirs was be different, think different.
Yeah.
And that's what we're saying. Let's think different.
Well, we do love our Macs, don't we, Vic?
Yeah. Oh, I got one right here. Matter of fact, I'm looking at my 21-inch monitor that I bought on eBay for $200.
Sweet.
You know, it's beautiful. But the point is, we've got to think, we've got to plan. And that's, besides research, planning is one of the hugest money savers that you'll ever find. Now, every business has a plan. Every business has a budget. Every business has an accountant or an accounting department that watches where the money goes. What do we have in the households of America? What have we been taught to do financially and planning-wise in our households?
Is that a trick question?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
And so let me ask this question. If you were buying stock in the households of America, how much would you invest in them? I wouldn't invest a penny.
Right, nothing, because we don't know what we're doing.
That's right.
Yeah, I know, I don't know what I'm doing.
And they're not turning a profit, and they aren't producing a good product.
But wait, to defend the families of America, I want to say nowhere are these everyday practical life skill type things taught. You don't learn it in the school system, not in elementary school, high school. Colleges don't teach it. So if you don't have a mom and a dad that know how to be savvy with their personal finances, you're not going to learn it.
Right.
So I tell people whenever we do seminars, don't kick yourself around the block. Just get up and start making decisions and start getting yourself educated. There's plenty of books out there to read to learn how to do this.
Well, the best book to read is that one written by that cheap family.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That America's Cheapest Family gets you right on the
right
money.
On.
Something like
write
that.
In and tell us that our budgeting chapter, which we feel like that is the crux, that is the kernel of truth. That's
the
starting point for really managing your money. If you don't have a budget, you're not going to go anywhere. You need that system to control your spending. And a lot of people who are very bad at math, just like me, think that budget is a four-letter word.
And it doesn't have to be, right?
It's not. Count it. B-U-D-G-E-T. That's six letters. So you're getting 50% more for your four-letter word.
That's right.
Anyway, it is absolutely critical to have some sort of budget, and we're not talking spreadsheets and computers. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, I was reading that, how you guys do that. I read that part in your book of how you do the whole paper thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my. I actually had to reread it.
Okay. Yeah,
because
it was a little
confusing. Then I reread it and then I got it. And then, you know, of course, I instantly was thinking, wouldn't that be a little easier on the computer? And then, Vicky, it says, well, no, because then we can take it to the baseball games.
That's
and,
right.
You know, they just take the folder.
It's a portable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, duh.
If we're taking a day trip in the car,
sure.
You know, We can do it in the car. One of us can do it while the other one drives.
We are talking about doing a budget in the car, not anything else.
Okay. Glad you cleared that up.
I just wanted to clarify
he's
here.
So bad. Anyway.
But here's the simplest way. See, cause remember, when you read this, and we did this in our book on purpose, we said, you know, there are different, everybody's at a different level. So we've got the timid mouse type person who's just starting out to, don't want to be seen by anybody. They just want to try this frugal lifestyle. What we tell them at the frugal mouse stage is if you want to start a budget, pick the three areas that are most commonly overspent, which is food,
yeah,
recreation, and clothes.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
okay?
Those are,
set a predetermined amount of cash you're going to take each week, and you're going to put it in three separate envelopes named food, clothes, and recreation. Even okay, let's say your food budget is $400 a month. So every week you put $100 in the food budget envelope, and maybe your clothing budget's $100 a month. So you're going to put $25 each
that's
paycheck.
That's kind of low for some people.
I know, but you know that's easy math.
I know.
Okay, and if at the end of that week in your clothing budget you've spent $2, who knows? You need a pair of socks. You've still got $23. Next week you put $25 in there. Now you've got how much?
I'm not doing the math.
I wasn't doing the math, Steve. I wasn't doing the math. I'm just hanging on every word here.
Right.
But
the point is that money will build, and when you have it in cash, you're going to be more careful in how you spend it.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Cool thing is, and people may actually see this as a struggle at first, is when you have that $100 for the week to go to the grocery store, you may have to take a calculator, and you may have to be real careful and evaluate
sure.
and prioritize what you're putting in your cart. And you may have to put a few things back, but the cool thing is as you start to buy things that are on sale and plan your menu around things that are on sale, eventually you'll be able to start stocking up on a couple of things.
Yeah.
So then you'll be able to be thinking ahead, planning ahead.
Planning. Back to planning.
Yeah, it's planning.
Yep. And you'll store sort of get in front of the eight ball rather than behind the eight ball.
Ooh, that's a good analogy.
That is a really good analogy.
I tell people it's not about sacrifice. It's about priorities. So if someone wants to go to the mouse park every year,
you know where that is.
But they're willing, but they're willing to eat baked potatoes because they want to go to the mouse park.
She used to say rice, but rice is too expensive.
Stop
yeah, that's the truth.
Because there isn't one budget that you could hand to every family that
right.
and say just live this way because every family has different priorities.
Right.
Every family looks different.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, from what you've said so far, what if there was a listener out there that said, boy, this sounds like a lot of work. What would you say to them in one sentence?
I would say it may start out feeling that way, but once you start working the whole frugality thing and the thrifty thing, it will become the funnest game you ever thought you played.
Yeah, like a challenge.
Have you ever seen a baby start to walk?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
You guys
yes.
have young kids, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll never forget
walking,
that day.
How much of their concentration and mental energy did they need to put into it?
A lot.
Everything.
Every ounce of energy.
Everything
they have. Walking. And that's the same thing with budgeting, except we're a little smarter, so we will learn quicker.
But when you look at a four-year-old, how much concentration do they need to spend on walking and running?
Yeah, not much at all, because they've practiced.
Exactly.
They've conquered it. They've
done
it.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
You start with one thing at a time. You don't have
right.
to be where we are today.
Right. We are truly black belts. We've been doing this.
Oh, you are. The whole walkie-talkies at the grocery store. That's craziness. I was like, oh, my gosh.
You know, I really say to people, sure, it may take some effort. But you know what? That kind of effort is not going to – your effort level is not going to need to stay up high like that for
right.
the rest of your life.
Right.
You're
yeah.
going to find your resources, and it's going to become easier. Here's the simple challenge for everybody who's listening. If you're on a first-name basis with the manager of your grocery store – you go in there three or four times.
Or the checker.
You go in there three or four times a week. They have your name on the marquee. Okay, something's wrong.
Yeah,
you're
not very good at planning.
Yeah. So here's the challenge. This week, sit down for 10 minutes with the grocery ads and plan what you're going to buy.
For dinner, just for dinner.
And kind of figure out, well, I'll tell you what, Jen, we're going to pick on you.
Sure, no problem there.
Tell me your three favorite foods.
It's like he knows me.
three favorite foods for dinner.
Oh, come on.
Nothing fancy.
Your three favorite things that you like to eat.
Okay. Chicken enchilada.
Uh-huh.
I like to have grilled cheese and tomato soup with the girls.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Why? Is that good?
I'm timing you, so keep going.
It's a cheap meal. Yeah. And I like chicken cordon bleu, but I don't know how to make it. My mom makes it for me.
Now, what you did there...
Oh, I picked all three chickens.
In 20 seconds, you just came up with 3 out of 5 dinners for the week.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, and now you put that on your shopping list. You buy the ingredients for that, plus you make sure you got enough cereal, milk, whatever, and you've got your list for the week.
Well, hey, I don't know how to make chicken cordon bleu, and I can cook a lot of things.
Yes,
you can. But there are some awesome boxes that have chicken cordon bleu at the grocery store. So if you think through what are your favorite meals, if you can sit down and name off even 5 that if you go to a restaurant, this is what I order.
Right.
Sometimes you can make them real easily. Sometimes they're a little challenging. Chicken enchiladas are very easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, grilled cheese and tomato soup are very easy to make.
Yeah, that's why I love them.
Chicken cordon bleu, so you splurge. So you buy a prepared meal for one of your meals because it's your favorite. But if you eat those 3 meals at home because you've made them or bought them at the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
is it going to cost you the same as if you go to a restaurant?
Heck no.
No.
And plus, okay, now the challenge was plan out your shopping list, plan your meals, and we just proved that you can, in a very short amount of time, come up with a menu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You go to the store once for the whole week, and you make it a goal. If you forgot something, you're going to improvise. You're going to use what you have in your pantry. You're going to use what you have in the refrigerator.
You're going to get creative.
Yeah,
creative.
Exactly. You're not going to go back. I guarantee you, you will cut your grocery bill for this week.
In half.
Probably 30 to 40%, maybe 50%.
I totally believe you.
We've had people write in and say it's revolutionizing just by limiting themselves with that one thing.
I believe
it sounds so simple, but a lot of people don't do that.
Right.
I mean, if it were me and I left an ingredient out of my recipe because I didn't have it on my grocery list, I probably wouldn't make it. I'd probably make a special trip to the store to pick it up. And then while I was there, I'd probably throw some other things in the cart.
Impulse.
I've wasted gas, money, time.
Yeah.
And I probably could have done without it or, like you said, gotten creative and made a substitution.
Yeah, it obviously depends on what the ingredient is. But very often you can either leave it out or substitute. And in a pinch, you know, I've been able to borrow something from a neighbor sometimes.
Hey, there you go. A little cooperation.
I just did that.
There you go.
I had to call 2 people.
And of course you replace it. And then, of course, like if I'm making banana bread, say I run out of sugar and I borrow a cup of sugar from my neighbor, well, I'll make sure I send them over some banana bread,
along
with the sugar when I'm replacing it. And of course, then they're only too happy to lend me sugar the next time I need it. So
right. Or you have the rule with your neighbors where they are borrowing from you the next time. So in the end, it all evens out.
Sure it does.
Well, most of them don't cook, so they don't really borrow from me.
We live in Scottsdale.
It doesn't work. I wish it did work that way. The old Ethel and Lucy thing is gone now.
Yeah.
Well, with you two, there is never a great place to take a break. I mean, usually we can find a great place, but they are so much fun to talk to.
That's all right. Let's take our break
now. We're going to have to.
Let's come back, and you guys can give us some more challenges. Cool?
Okay.
All right.
Happiness runs in a circular
motion. Thought is like a new fruity Cheerios with a touch of real fruit juice and 25% less sugar. Happiness runs, happiness what tastes runs. Good is good. Happiness runs, happiness
runs. Weary traveler, are you finally home? What do your eyes behold?
Welcome back to Everyday Frugal Living with Steve and Annette Economides, authors of the New York Times bestseller, America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money, Your Guide to Living Better, Spending Less, and Cashing in on Your Dreams.
We've got a good listener question here. This is from Yolanda from Dover, Ohio. Are homemade cleaning solutions as effective as ones that you buy in the store? Right now I'm transitioning from Lysol and Clorox to Method and more natural cleaners, but those can get expensive.
Oh, boy. we've done the homemade stuff, and we've made our own Windex with, we put ammonia, rubbing alcohol, water, and a squirt of dish soap. And it's great when you make it, and it only costs you pennies.
But
you know,
I know, I hear a but coming in there.
You know, see, saving money and time are two things you have to balance in your life. And it sounds like she's concerned about the environment, too.
Yeah.
When, you know, you've got to balance that all out, and you've got to set your priorities. And if you have enough money to go buy the eco products that are usually two or three times the price, and you're balancing your budget, you're putting money in your retirement account, you're saving in advance for things, then do it, and do it with a clear conscience.
The other reason people sometimes will do homemade cleaning things is because of health reasons, and it is possible that there can be a lot of illness.
Right.
And, you know, we are a very healthy family, and we eat very healthy, and so I don't worry too much about the toxins because it doesn't make us sick, and we seem to be okay. So I just go for inexpensive and easy. I don't really have time right now to make my own cleaning things, but if health issues are really an issue, I know the internet is full of home remedies that work, from borax to kill ants to, I don't know, I've even heard about like some spices being used to ward off insects and stuff. So
here are some things that we do, though, that are maybe unusual. You ever buy something at the store and you pull off the price tag and it's got that gooey adhesive on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you get that off?
Well, you need to usually buy something like Gooby Gone or something to get it off.
Okay, the adhesives are a petroleum product. So any type of cooking oil would work great.
Or Vaseline. A generic Vaseline.
Or I usually just go to the garage, grab my can of WD-40, which is really a fish oil, and put it on a rag, and it comes right off. Baking soda. We use that on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It's a non-abrasive.
I do, too.
You know, it
works like... It works like Comet or Ajax in your sink.
But better.
To clean your sinks.
Yeah.
And so there...
Now, we even heard a weird thing. This was years ago. There was a book out called The Delaney Sisters' First 100 Years. These are women who were raised in the South. They were slaves. They were black. And one of them became a dentist. One of them became a teacher. And when they were over 100 years old, they had their own teeth. And what they did to take care of their teeth was they boiled water to clean it first. Then they used baking soda and salt. Well, we aren't that radical, but we've been using baking soda for years to brush our teeth. And you know you can buy baking soda in some toothpaste.
Yeah.
But we just used straight baking soda. And at first the kids, you know, their faces were hilarious. This is disgusting, Mom. And now they go to use toothpaste, like if they forget or they're at somebody's house, they use toothpaste and they're like, that is disgusting. I would never use toothpaste.
But the cool thing is, we go to the dentist,
yeah,
go to clean our teeth.
They're amazed at how little tartar we all have.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And they want to know what your secret is, and then you tell them.
If you want to clean your stove, clean your oven, clean your toaster oven, you know how you always get those little spots on the toaster oven glass and everything? Get some rubbing compound for cars.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
And it will clean it up, and then you wax the outside of it with car wax, and it will keep the surface of your stove, keep the surface of your toaster oven, that kind of stuff. Super clean.
Like brand new again.
Right, but of course the other thing is like everything else we're talking about, if we spill oatmeal on the stove but we clean it up right away instead of letting it sit there and crust for a few days.
Turn off the burner right away.
It's going to be easier to clean it if you deal with it right away. If there's a spill on your carpeting and you deal with it right away.
I agree.
It will be easier to clean than if it sits for a day or two.
Then you're going to be forced to go out and buy some fancy cleaner just to target that specific problem area. But if you clean it up right away, you're going to save yourself some time.
Right.
And money and elbow grease. I do believe that a lot of those cleaning solutions, you know, I read time and time again, if you really look at the ingredients, they kind of do boil down to the same key ingredients, the bleach, the vinegar, the alcohol, the ammonia, the baking soda.
And water. Lots of water.
And water. People underestimate the power of water. And all of those things that I just rattled off are so inexpensive.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And my tip for Yolanda is that I don't think this takes as much time as mixing your own homemade cleaners, but I will buy a big jug of something that's concentrated from like Sam's Club or whatever whole club place you have in your area. And I do buy a trigger bottle. A Rubbermaid container bottle or something, a good one, because I do find if I buy the inexpensive bottles from the dollar store, the triggers break.
They don't work, yeah.
They don't break and they last. And I fill my own bottles and you dilute it with water and it lasts me forever.
Right.
So what you've done is you've created a system that works for you.
Right.
We need to, the more things we can systematize, the less money we're going to spend because we're going to have our source, we're going to have a good rationale behind it because we've thought about it, and you're going to be able to just do it, and it becomes second nature.
Yeah. Well, here's another question. When I have some extra money, it burns a hole in my pocket and I want to spend it right away. Are there any good ideas for motivating someone to stop spending and save more? I don't always have the extra money, so that's why when I have it, I want to spend it. What do you say about that?
We'll make this real short. Go to the fabric store and buy asbestos and make your own pockets out of asbestos.
That's a great idea.
No, the truth is, it sounds like this gal, and I don't mean to pick on anybody, but it sounds like she probably doesn't have a plan for where her money is all going.
Right, back and to those three first steps.
Right, and so she's feeling deprived, and she's probably got a lot of debt, and so all of her money is going to necessities and debt, mm-hmm. and so when she does have a little bit of money, she's feeling like, gosh, I really need to just have...
I deserve it.
I deserve it. Right. I just need to have a luxury for myself.
I just want to have fun.
So I would just say, hang in there. Come up with a plan. You need more than just a quick fix for what to do with pocket change. You need to look at all of your finances as a whole. And, of course, I recommend our book. And our website, americascheapestfamily.com, also has a tips page where there's hundreds of ideas for saving money. There's lots of resources. There's links on our website for ways that you can stretch your money and research stuff. So I would encourage her to look at everything.
But let's talk about people who get unexpected money.
Okay.
And we wrote about this in the book. We called it the windfall plan. Mm. And, you know, everybody is going to have unexpected money at birthdays, Christmas,
tax
overtime, a tax refund. You know, our government's going to send out a little bit of pocket change in a few weeks here. If you don't have a plan for that money before it comes, it will become an emotional tug of war with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you sit down right now and you say, okay, I want to take that $1,000 we're going to get, or $1,300 or whatever, and a third of it I'm going to put on debt. I'm just going to pay off a third of it. A third of it I'm going to save for a summer vacation, and the last third I'm going to divide in two, and I'm going to play with a sixth, and the other third I'm going to put in savings. Okay, you've just taken it out of the emotional realm, put it in the cognitive decision realm, and when that money comes, there's not going to be any struggle. Husbands and wives need to agree on that, but that's what we talk about in our windfall article, is you do this, and you will find that money will go so much further. And you can play with $100,
mm-hmm.
and you can have fun. If you research out your options, you will enjoy it even more than if you spent that $1,000 and had no clue where it went.
Definitely.
Right.
Definitely. Doug just sent us a little note that said that Best Buy, and I'm going to add Amazon.com, is probably going to love this new tax return. A lot of people are going to be getting themselves a flat screen TV.
Yeah, no kidding.
Here's the challenge. Here's what I want to challenge people with the tax rebate, the economic stimulus package.
Yeah.
If you buy a flat screen TV, how much will it be worth next year?
$10.
It means it'll be worth less. If you take that money, and let's say you've always wanted to learn to sew, so you could make clothes for your kids.
Or mend your clothes that are torn,
whatever.
And the seams and stuff.
So you buy a sewing machine with a part of that money.
There you go. Vicky, get yourself a sewing
machine. How much will that
be
worth next year? As your skills improve, that will save you money every year and actually produce income or reduce spending.
But we're not saying don't ever have any fun with the money.
Have fun with some of it.
We're saying don't blow the whole thing on fun. You know, use some of it to pay off debt. Use some of it to buy something. Maybe you need better tools. You know, just for
Home Depot.
Yeah.
You know, to help you keep some stuff around the house. Buy something that will last and help you save money in the long run.
What if you could take that money and take a class at a community college?
Improve
your marketability in the job place so that you could earn an extra $5,000 or $10,000 a year.
Would that be a good payoff?
You invest in yourself.
Sounds smart to me. Well, that you just said my husband's favorite quote. I can't count how many times he said it. Ben Franklin said, the best investment that you can make is in yourself.
That's right.
Aww.
There you go.
Okay, well, hey, before we finish up, we'd like to hit one more really important question here. And we teach kids how to earn, but are we really teaching them how to spend? What do you guys have to say about that?
Real quick story. Last night we were at a reception. Our second oldest son just got inducted into Phi Theta Kappa, which is the 2-year honor society for kids going to community colleges.
Yay, great.
And we're sitting at the table with another family, and there's a gal there dressed in real trendy clothes, and she works at a store, and she says, yeah, my last paycheck, I got paid a lot of money, but I don't know where it went. She's 17 or 18 years old. Roy is 18 years old. He's just graduating high school, and he has $2,000 or $3,000 in the bank. He saves 20% of what he earns. He gives 10%. He has about $200 or $300 in his spend envelope. He only gets paid $9 an hour. He works maybe 15 hours a week. He just bought a $200 bicycle. The kid has money, but he doesn't spend it all. This is because we've taught our kids to handle money.
But it's also a lifestyle that we have. So
right. You're a role model.
Yeah, we have successfully convinced our kids that they can have everything they want.
Yeah.
But we've also showed them the resources to do it. So our kids know how to shop on eBay. They know how to shop at the thrift stores. They know how to find brand new items as well as used items. They know when used is okay and when something needs to be brand new.
You don't buy used underwear.
No, that's not a good idea.
You know, they'll know which friends of theirs know us well enough that, you know, if they have a favorite book that's out of print or a toy that no longer is produced, that kind of thing.
Right. They can give that as a gift.
They can give that as a gift if they can find that.
But all of that starts by teaching your kids. First off, you have to be an example. And we have a chapter in the book called Teaching Kids About Money Isn't Kid Stuff. We also have a kit we sell on our website. It's really inexpensive. Well, we're going to raise the price to $15, but right now it's $10. So you want to buy it
now. Hurry up. Now's the time to do it.
It's our system that we've used with our kids to teach them to manage money from the time they're about 3 years old.
Are you talking the Money Smart Kids?
Yeah,
that's exactly
it. Oh, okay. So you guys are promoting it for us.
There you go.
Gladly.
It's $10. It's $12 with shipping and handling. And it, you know, there's nothing else like it out there. I mean, Dave Ramsey sells something for $100.
$168.
Richard Kiyosaki sells a game for $200 or $300. So there's nothing out there, and we need to be teaching our kids not only how to earn, but also how to spend and how to save.
Yeah, they're never too young to start learning about that money does not grow on trees.
Right.
And I want everyone to know that there's an awesome video on your website that they can watch. They had a news segment on America's Cheapest Family about their whole payday system, and it's really neat. And what is amazing is that their oldest daughter, who was 22 years old at the time, had $22,000 in her bank account without a part-time job. That's incredible.
With
a part-time job. Yeah. I thought not even with a job.
With a part-time job.
That would be impossible.
Never had a full-time job. Yet.
I wouldn't put it past this family, Jen. It's not impossible. If anyone can do it, they
could. Plant a lot of trees, but that one didn't quite work.
Okay. All right. It's adding up now. So tell us more about that.
Okay. Well, it's real simple. You know, basically, you can give a kid an allowance, and they take the money, and just like the real world, they spend it on whatever they want. Because, you know, when you get your paycheck, you don't have to pay any bills. You can just go out and buy ice cream and clothes and all that stuff. You don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we teach our kids when we give them an allowance and we don't require anything from them. So what we've done is we linked earning, which is doing chores around the house, doing certain jobs with a good attitude, and we've linked that with earning money, which is what real life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they get paid, they have to do certain things with their money. They have to give a portion of it to some type of charitable organization or church. They have to save 20%, which in the book, The Millionaire Next Door, the average millionaire saved 15% of what they earned. So we're teaching our kids to save 20%, and then they can spend 30% or 70% on whatever they want. When they hit age
11, then they start having to buy their own clothes.
Reality
at just the right time before puberty hits, right?
Yeah, when
it matters.
So then they start learning that name brands at the thrift stores are pennies on the dollar compared to going to the stores at the mall.
It's still got the right tag in it.
It is. And you know what?
But Mom, everybody's wearing those shoes. I need them. They're $300.
And we're going to offer some grace so that if we have a teenager that's having a major growth spurt, we're not going to say, oh, you need some shorts. Too bad. You can't buy them. You don't have any money. I mean, if it's a legitimate need, we're going to help to fund. If they need sneakers or something, we're going to help fund
and buy
stuff.
But that's only happened in the last 15 years, probably about 4 or 5 times.
Right.
Right. Wow. Huh. The lessons your kids are learning.
Yeah.
And then when they go to work and they get a real job at age 16, and instead of earning $8 or $10 a week, now they're earning $100 or $150 a week, but they've already learned how to manage the small amount.
They're better prepared.
They are absolutely prepared. And then when they go from the cash envelope system that we teach them to a checking account, they already know how to balance it. And then when they get their first credit card, because you need to establish credit, but you need to be smart about it.
Yeah.
They don't overspend. Like Becky has a credit card. She uses it only for buying gas so that she's starting young, establishing her credit, because credit scores are based on length of time and the percentage of your credit that you have available. So now she never uses more than an eighth of what her credit limit is. She never pays interest, and she's had this credit card now for a year and a half, almost 2 years. Right. So she's building her
building
length
good
of time.
Credit. We didn't even. Oh, that's a whole show in itself, isn't it?
Yeah,
we
didn't
really.
We didn't even get to credit cards. And getting out of debt,
Well, I'll tell you what. It's something that you all do too that I just that just struck me is that you link an attitude to chores. A lot of people don't think about that.
What are those shirts? No sniveling. we have a no whining policy. If let's say we tell one of the kids to
mow the lawn.
Yeah.
And he has a stinking attitude about it. Just,
I can't believe I have to mow the lawn today.
It's going to cost him.
You get to mow the lawn, but you aren't going to get paid for it, or you aren't going to get a point for it. You know, attitude is critical. If you are working for an employer and they ask you to do a particular task,
Are you going to gripe about it?
Garbage attitude. Yeah. You won't have a job long.
Yeah. Right.
Or your next review is going to be pretty bad, and you're not going to be getting your raise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, another thing they have to do is they have to fill out their, we call it a time card, but really it's a point card every day. And if they forget, it's just like I forgot to punch in at work, you know. You don't get points for that day. And our oldest son, his first job was working.
He was working at 15.
He was working at a place where they assembled kits, you know, so it was paid by the piece. And one day he forgot to clock in. And he did a day's worth of work or 4 hours worth of work, I guess it was. And, you know, he would have earned like $20 or $30.
And he learned his lesson, though. One time, and he never did it again. I said, honey, can't you talk to him? He goes, no, Mom, there's a sign right above the clock. No punch in, no money.
You guys have so many amazing stories. I wish that when we scheduled this interview with you, we would have said, can you give us 3 hours in it?
Yeah,
Steve?
No kidding.
Because this is absolutely wonderful. And
well, let's do it again.
Well, and I love how you all, I mean, you guys have really taken this to what a lot of us would call an extreme, you know? The walkie-talkies in the grocery store, for example. But I love how you are making it possible for all of us, you know, starting off with some small challenges that we can all, you know, try to do.
Mm-hmm.
So make it possible for everyone to be on our way to becoming cheap.
Well, I love how they have fun along the way.
Yeah.
That's what is really important to me. And I am fascinated with the whole walkie-talkie thing. I can see Steve now. Annette, can I have some Oreos? Copy this.
No, I never do that.
And then Annette calls back. Cheetos. Can I have Cheetos? And then she, no. Roger. Over and out.
We
no.
were shopping
no
this
Cheetos.
Last Wednesday with a newspaper reporter and a camera person with us, and Annette calls me up and says, honey, I want a splurge. It's on aisle 10. It's the candy aisle.
And so I bought my favorite peanut clusters. The people were cracking up because we splurged on several things that weren't on our list, and they're like, oh, you guys are normal, and you like chocolate, too.
Yeah.
And what did you ask me about, though? There was one thing you asked me about, and I said, no way, we're not doing it. What? Oh, donuts. The donuts were not marked down. Usually at night when we shop, the donuts are marked down. And for $1.99, I'll tell them, okay, get a dozen donuts. The boys will love it. But they were $6.99. I'm like, no way, we're not paying $6.99 for a dozen of donuts.
But she did let me splurge and buy her a chocolate covered apple.
Oh, nice.
With the pecans on it.
Oh, I know.
Caramel.
I'm picturing it.
I told them, okay, we can use this as an early Mother's Day present.
There you go.
But we still came in under budget. Our budget for the month is now $375. Between two stores and enough food for the month, we spent $300.
Well, I'll tell you, it sounds like you guys are having fun. It sounds like you do have everything you want and more. It sounds like Steve deserves a headset that when he does interviews. So that's what I'm hearing.
Oh, you're so funny. Yeah, we do. I don't feel deprived in any way, and I wish America was less stressed. We see day in and day out families just struggling to survive and keep their heads above water, and if they could just learn a few different attitudes and a few different ways of spending their money, I think the families in America would be so much happier.
Yep, and let's face it, life is short, and you have to have fun and have a good attitude, because I know money is a huge stress factor for a lot of families.
Right.
If you get past arguing about money, there's plenty of other things to argue about.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you guys, Stephen and Ned, thank you so much again for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
And you know that there will be loads of great tips on our companion page for this show, Everyday Frugal Living. And go to VickyandJen.com and click on any of our show titles to get more about our awesome guests and their recommended resources and other cool stuff that Vicky and I find.
And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter so you know what's coming up next on What Really Matters. Thanks once again, Stephen and Ned. It sure has been fun.
Good talking.
You bet.
Please join us again as we learn, laugh, and grow together.
And make every day matter.